everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind, episode 4, A Podcast in Disguise.
I think I know where you're going with.
Yes.
I think I know where you're going.
My Little Ponies.
Yes!
No, my friend, we are going to be talking about Transformers. What?
Come on. I know you're a brony.
Okay.
Yeah, high three.
Not really.
Transformers. I see you sporting the Decepticon shirt, so I figured, oh, that's what we're talking about today.
I gotta be in the spirit, man. I gotta feel the vibe, you know? But before we get into the whole topic of Transformers, just want to, again, just thank everyone for listening to our past episodes, and hopefully you're tuning in again for this one. But as always, you can find us on iTunes. Just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind on iTunes. Yes. We're now on the Stitcher Radio app.
Yes.
Finally. You're welcome, Scott.
And the three other people that listen.
Yes. Yeah, you can definitely check us out on that. Again, just do a search on Stitcher. You'll find us. And then also, if you want to follow us on social media, Facebook.com/PopCultureRewind. Also on Twitter, @PopCultureRWND. If you want to shoot us an email with any suggestions or comments, anything like that, it's PopCultureRewind@gmail.com.
Nice.
So, that being said, how's everything going with you, man?
It's good, man. Another day, another dollar. You ready to start the week? No better way to start the weekend than sitting around talking Transformers.
I know. I got excited about this man.
I just got my hands on a 2-pack from Toys R Us, Optimus Prime. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, I think I got one of the last ones in town.
Oh, you bastard.
I called the Toys R Us. I found out that they hit the market because they were only sold at Toys R Us. I called one, and they told me, hey, you know what? Baybrook has two, Baytown has one, and Woodlands has one. And thanks to my better half, she got a hold of one for me, and I reimbursed her, and I got it. But oh my god, that's awesome.
sounds like a keeper to me.
Hell yes.
All right. So that being said, before we get into everything, for those uninitiated, let's take a step back and kind of fill in the gaps here for what is Transformers.
Transformers, to me, as a little kid, watching these cars that turn into robots and talk and befriend humans, that fight other robots that fly, that also transform into bad robots that want nothing more than to destroy the good robots, and all hell breaks loose.
Well, now you took everything I was going to say, damn it. Yeah, when I think Transformers, definitely the cartoon from the 80s.
Yes.
The toys from the 80s. And then
the movies from the last 7 years?
The what?
We'll get
now,
there.
When you say Transformers movie, I gotta say the animated movie from 1986. Damn it, yeah, that's my movie right there. I don't care who you are. That's just me.
I think my earliest memory of Transformers is watching Optimus Prime and looking at my dad because he was a truck driver, and I said, okay. Does your truck do that? Why don't you take me anywhere in it? I want to make friends. And he just gave me this straight look like, no, son. Watch the damn show.
Yeah, dude, for me, it was all about just getting my hands on the toys, you know? I had some neighbor friends that had the toys as well, and, you know, I just couldn't wait to go over there and play with those, you know? And then I finally convinced my mom, this is what I like. Get me some of these. It was just the toys. Were there any particular characters or anything that you that really stands out that you always, like, if there's a new figure or something that comes out of this character, do you always go to that one?
I go to Bumblebee because it's Bumblebee? I always remember
the little
bright
bug
yellow. I remember bright yellow bug.
Yeah.
From the very beginning. Like, even now, I want to say 80% of my collection is straight up Bumblebees.
Yeah.
Like, my old room where I used to collect it, I called it my beehive because I had all of them up on the wall. Yeah, those were the days.
You know, for me, the main character that I always go to for a while, it just seems, was Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because the red, you know.
The flames.
Yeah.
You being a ginger.
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah, you got me. Yeah, you got me. But yeah, just something about just the design, just the cool aspect of him, you know. He was, again, going back to the movie, he was like the fresh.
The upstart. You know,
And with his attitude and everything. And you just kind of relate to that. That's my kind of go-to. You know, if I see some, okay, I'm going to pick that up. There's been, for Transformers, it's been all over everything. There's been cartoons, there's been movies, there's been toys, there's been comics, video games. We'll get into all of that here in this podcast. But it was just, this is just something near and dear to my heart. I'm pretty sure to you as well, just because it's been something that's been throughout our whole lives, pretty much.
You say the word Transformers, someone knows who Optimus Prime is, or someone knows that that's the car that transformed into a robot, or they know something about their childhood as soon as they bring it up.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think this is going to be a fun episode, just to kind of go back and kind of be able to talk about just the earlier moments, just anything that stands out for Transformers, we're going to talk about it. So let's go ahead and get right on to that, okay?
Go for it.
So, did you hear about how it came about, like what it was before Transformers?
Gobots?
No.
I just messed with you.
It was called Diaclone. And it was basically all the die-cast metal toys that transformed into just everyday vehicles. And that's when Hasbro saw that. And Hasbro bought the rights to it. They started bringing those over. They repainted them.
Okay.
Put American names on them. Stocked them out with new packaging and everything. And there you go. There's Transformers. So it's all corporate marketing
101.
Yeah. So take an established line somewhere else. Repackage it. There you go.
Yeah.
Multi-million dollar
print
business.
Money.
Yeah. But if you can find those, you can go on eBay, whatever. You can find the original Diaclones of the original Transformers. And yeah, they're collectibles, you know. But then again, if it doesn't say Transformers on it, who cares, right?
Yeah.
So, I think my first one was probably one of the smaller vehicles, maybe like a Bumblebee or a Cliff Jumper. You know, the
small, little bitty ones.
Yeah, yeah, mini cars. So, yeah, there was that. The originals, what's now referred to as Generation 1.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to those. I think that's more fonder memories of a lot of people around our age, just to see those toys.
Yeah.
You know, just to... this is a different time, you know, different types of... They don't make them like that anymore. Just for the sheer fact of, just like you said, the die-cast. The style may not be there. Like, now they're more articulated. They can do more things now.
Yeah.
But something about the simplicity of those Transformers.
Yeah.
Those went on for a while, along with... after it died out around, 91, 92... That's when the popularity started going down. People were getting a little bit older.
Society kind of changed.
Yeah,
a little
bit. Yeah. They said, well, we're losing interest on that. What if we went back and just took some of the classics, maybe repainted them or did some other stuff to it and slap on a new label on it? We'll call it Generation 2. And that, I think, started bringing a little resurgence, because that only lasted for maybe 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. Like the first season, the first series of Generation 2 was all repaints of Generation 1 stuff. Did you, the Generation 1, Generation 2, you weren't...
I was envious of everyone that had one.
Now, of course, it started dying down right now, but before we get into the next section of this, I wanted to say the original toy line, released in 84, there was an accompanying cartoon.
Yes.
That came along with that, which was essentially just 30-minute commercials for these toys.
Yeah.
And I think that's more fondness than anything, because if you watched the cartoon back then, which I'm sure you did, if you go back and watch them now, which I believe you can on Netflix.
I have a complete series on DVD.
I do too, floating around here somewhere. unfortunately,
they don't hold up.
They do not hold up at all.
The cheesiness factor and the wow factor of that's what we used to like as a kid.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where just... it's something you can go back to. It's pure nostalgia for those cartoons, because...
I could safely say that Peter Cullen was one of the voices of my childhood.
Oh, definitely.
His Optimus Prime voice. There's other iterations of animated shows that had an Optimus that didn't have his voice, and for some reason, it just couldn't buy it.
Yeah.
Growing up, like, it was hard for me to put that aside. That guy... When I think of Optimus Prime, I hear that guy.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't? I mean, it's... This is one of those things where he's such an iconic voice for that character. I mean, they had to bring him back for the movies.
Yeah.
Because there would have been a riot if he wasn't the voice.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that here in just a minute. The cartoon, it lasted for 3 seasons, from 84 to 87. The first 2 seasons wasn't really going anywhere. I mean, they had their adventures. Every once in a while, they'd bust out like a 2-parter episode, which was epic at the time.
Or 3-parters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
The Ultimate Doom was 3-part.
Yeah. More Than Meets the Eye, the opening, where like the origin of how they came to Earth and everything. There was not a whole lot to those original episodes. Now, in 86,
I know
something happened in 1986.
Yes.
That blew everybody's minds.
A movie. An animated movie.
Yes.
That was actually in theaters.
Yes.
That people actually saw.
Had outstanding animation in my mind, which still holds up. Well-known, respected actors for the time.
Yeah, it had Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
It had Robert Stack, host of Unsolved Mysteries, as Ultra Magnus. I remember that.
He's always Ultra Magnus to me, damn it.
Yeah, clear as day.
Judd Nelson?
He did
Hot Rod.
Hot Rod, that's what I was thinking. Like
Eric Idle. Fucking Monty Python over here. Yeah.
Weird Al is...
Well, he just did the... Weird Al, he did a song. No, he was like the theme song for the Junkians. Eric Idle played the voice of Retgar.
Retgar! That's the whole thing. I remember that Dare to Be Stupid. That was awesome.
And I play that song every once in a while.
It's on my iPod right now.
No shame in that.
Yeah.
We just talked about Weird Al in the last episode.
Dude, I have a Weird Al playlist on here that I've made.
And who does it? Who doesn't, really? Orson Welles. That was one of his last performances.
Yes. Unicron. Right?
Yeah. And just those scenes in that movie with Unicron talking, the ominous of it.
It's weird to get a vibe like that when you're just watching an animated movie and all you hear is their voice instead of their mannerisms and their face.
It makes a connection in your brain automatically. That's what you connect them with.
Yeah.
Like, I knew about Robert Stack before Unsolved Mysteries, that he was Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
Orson Welles. I didn't listen to War of the Worlds or Citizen Kane or anything like that. I saw Transformers first.
Yeah.
So he's always Unicron to me.
That's me, child of the 80s.
Yeah, there's that. And that movie, I mean, it's still, like I said, it still holds up. Of course, there's a few glitches in the coloring, things like that. And if you're a fan of the movie, you probably know what I'm talking about. There's a few... miscolorations, but if you're like me, you nitpick that kind of crap. Yeah. But if you're just a fan, you don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things where it's still one of my favorite movies of all time, for better or worse.
Yeah,
you know, I have the movie, I have the 20th anniversary DVD. So, and the interesting thing about that movie was they started the script of that movie during the first season of the cartoon, which is funny because they didn't have any characters that they used in season 2 of Transformers in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that.
And when you look at the movie, the cool thing is this was one of the first times I think they tried to jump a continuity, not jump the continuity, but jump the time frame, because it took 20 years later instead of 1985, it's 2005. It takes 20 years after the first couple seasons of the show. And then from there, you're able to introduce a whole new cast of characters. More importantly, new toys.
Yes.
And I think Hasbro learned a valuable lesson in this, as you don't kill off your most valuable player.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Optimus Prime dies.
He dies in the movie. Children.
Watching it now. Not remembering how it happened when I saw it as a kid. Watching it now,
it still jars me watching it. Because I remember watching it as a kid, and I was like, I didn't get this as a kid. I'm watching it now. I was like, they actually let kids watch this? It's fucking depressing. I'm surprised we didn't all kill ourselves. Like, drink the Kool-Aid or something.
Wow.
No, now they have, like, Pixar for that.
Yeah. Oh.
That's your depressing factor. Yeah.
I remember that's the first movie I ever saw where it looked like it was a movie for kids until I heard one of the Autobots say, "Oh shit!"
Yes,
as one of the Cybertron moons got destroyed.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Hey, Dad,"
he just said a cuss word.
I've never heard that word before. What does it mean? Do I need to get the dictionary? Like, no, son. Watch the movie. Okay.
Shit, son. Don't ask those stupid questions.
Yes.
Something like that? Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, man.
So, to me, that movie's always going to be timeless for me. It's always going to hold a place in my heart for that. And, yeah, it was a little taboo because you had a... They said a cuss word. They said a bad word in a little cartoon animated movie.
Yeah.
You know, but, Optimus dying on there. They did that to bring out new toys, Hot Rod, which they wanted Rodimus. Yeah. You know, in the movie, he becomes Rodimus Prime, which was, you know, you put Prime on there, of course, he's going to be the new
hero.
Yeah.
The new
leader. You got rid of Megatron, which became Galvatron, to get a new toy.
So they bring Optimus Prime back to life for 3 episodes? Was it the final series, or was that 3-parter?
Yeah, they realized after the movie came out, and they got so many, I don't want to say death threats, but pissed off parents because little Johnny was crying because Optimus Prime is dead. they had to find a way to bring him back.
Yeah,
and they did find a way in this third season to bring him back, and then it went into the fourth season, which only lasted actually only three seasons.
Three episodes.
Which brought in the Headmasters.
Yeah.
Which was, again, if you didn't know that the cartoon was commercials for the toys,
watch... New toys!
Watch season 4.
Yeah.
And you'll know exactly what we mean. Because it's all, hey, here's the new toy. I mean, character.
Describe to the general audience that might not know, what's a Headmaster?
Okay. A Headmaster is basically a transformer where you basically take his head off, and his head transforms into a little robot. And then the body of the other one just transforms into a vehicle, whatever, and then the little robot becomes like the pilot or the driver of the vehicle. Yes. You didn't know that, did you?
I did. I watched a couple of them. I saw the Japanese stuff when, after Generation 1 finished, it continued on as Headmasters.
Yes. I don't know how many people know about that, but... yeah, the popularity was just declining at that point.
Yeah.
And they didn't have... They just couldn't continue in the United States. So what they did was, over in Japan, they scrapped... They didn't even take Season 4 in consideration. And they started scratch from their own after the third season.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on for several episodes.
Yeah.
Headmasters. And I dug it. It's if you ever watched that show...
It's different. It's different, but it kind of looks familiar.
Yes.
To me.
Because it's weird, because they're taking familiar characters that you're used to, and they have their own personalities that are different. Of course, they're not going to have the same voices and everything, because they're Japanese. The bad thing is about that is they do, for the longest time, the only version available was like an English dubbed.
So it's Japanese voice, but it had the subtitles in English?
No. Dubbed. Like, like they had poorly overdubbed voices, which
I'm gonna get you.
Yeah, it was like bad. You know, do you remember Speed Racer?
Yes,
those voiceovers.
Oh my God, yes,
it was. Oh, yeah, it was like that. Okay. So, and but the really bad thing about that, unfortunately, was the animation was just so. It wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm. That's an understatement.
If you want to continue an animated adventure for Transformers, I would recommend picking up. Because now they do have it on DVD.
Yeah,
it took a long time.
Yeah,
but they did go and officially release it on DVD for that. I think it's like 80 or 90 episodes or something like that on there. So
I think so. Yeah.
But it's just a different take, and it's just like I said, if you like Transformers and you're kind of curious to see
where it could go
after the American season goes. Now after Headmasters. They did have a little bit of success after that, so they made 2 more series after that. The first one was Master Force, mm-hmm. which basically they took the concept of Headmasters and Target Masters, which Target Masters were just the guns.
Yeah.
They just transformed the guns into robots. They took that concept and they made Master Force, which they had other versions of that, like Power Masters, which was something in the United States. They had Power Masters, which is another thing. Since the toy line continued for a few years after the anime series canceled, you would see in Master Force and Headmasters some U.S. toys that were released in the United States, but they were just on Master Force, the cartoon. Yeah. So if you're kind of curious about, you know, just further adventures of Generation 1 toys on animated form, it's a good outlet for it. Again, it's on DVD. I think it was either Shout Factory. That they released them. Yeah. And then the third one was Victory. Victory was a little departure. It's going to be totally different from the other ones because that was all based on Japanese released figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was after Generation 1 had completely pretty much all died out in the United States, and they did have continued success in Japan. So Victory was just based on those figures. Have you watched any of those, Master Force or Victory?
No.
I watched probably a good quarter of those episodes. I never really finished them myself. I'm not going to lie. Some of them, they are kind of hard to sit through because of the dubbed voices and things like that. But it's just, it's neat. It's a little different outtake on Generation 1.
So. Yeah.
So anyway, after the fourth season of the Generation 1 cartoon, it did die down here in the States, even though they had some further success in Japan. It wasn't until about 96 we got a new iteration of Transformers, which revitalized the franchise to me, and that was called Beast Wars. Mm-hmm. Now let me tell you something about Beast Wars.
I'm going to tell you all I know about Beast Wars. Optimus Primal.
That's it, huh?
That's all I needed to know. Optimus Prime as an ape was fucking awesome, dude.
Did you watch the cartoon?
I watched some episodes when I was younger.
Okay.
I haven't watched any of them recently, so all right. It's my memory on that's a little bit hazy.
That show stuck with me. You don't even know. This was...
You've said that there was some of the best storytelling in cartoons you've ever seen in these Beast Wars.
I still hold up to that. I still stand by that. It was three seasons long.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, right. No, three good seasons.
Yeah, okay.
And first of all, let's backtrack here. This was groundbreaking on a few reasons. One, this was the first time Transformers were animals instead of machines.
Yeah.
Or instead they transformed into animals instead of... There were organics instead of just full-on machines. Mm-hmm. Secondly, this was a CGI cartoon. This was a CG cartoon, computer-generated cartoon. And you could see, it's kind of funny, if you watch the first episode all the way to the last, you could see the progression of the quality of the animation as they progressed in their technology. But the good thing is about this cartoon was, by the time Beast Wars came out, you already had... fans, you already had, the internet was still kind of new, but you still had websites here and there with like bulletin boards and things like that where you it was more of a community based, like if you knew
chat rooms,
yeah, exactly. Bulletin boards, yeah, geez. But the thing with that one was you had, by that time, you had kids our age that had grown up with Transformers and they had started their own websites and things like that,
yeah.
And what happened on this show was the writers of the show actually reached out to the fans, to some of these websites, moderators and things like that, and asked them, "Hey, what is special to you? What do fans of Transformers want to see?" So if you watch Beast Wars and you grew up watching Generation 1 and everything, there was a lot of nods and homages to Generation 1.
Really?
Yeah. There's one episode in particular. They actually bring in the ghost of Starscream. He actually possesses a character on Beast Wars, and he's Starscream for an episode. So things like that. It was just, for the first time, that was before, you know, on the internet and all this other community-based stuff where everybody knows something about something. This was the first time we took knowledge from something else and we applied it to this as a little wink and a nod to
people past, I remembered.
Exactly, yeah. I think that's one of the reasons it stands out for me a little bit. Plus this, I don't know, it was something about it. It was a fun show.
I remember it being one of the first cartoons that was completely CG at the time.
Right.
In the mid-90s.
Yeah. But anyway, the first season was more or less just your Adventure of the Week type thing, mm-hmm. introducing the characters, but they still progressed a little bit into the final, I think it was a two-parter season finale, which bled into the premiere of... The repercussions of the first season led into the season 2 premiere. Mm-hmm. And from season 2, that was a full-on, straight-up story. They knew where they were going at that point, and they had
that one... was its own arc.
Exactly, yeah. Speaking of arc, I'm glad you did that, my friend. Speaking of homages to the original cartoon, I don't know if I should say it, but yeah, I'm going to say it. Yeah, screw it. The arc is in this the show. The arc from the original...
Yes.
Their headquarters. Their headquarters from... From Generation 1 returns in Beast Wars. I'm not going to say how or why. You need to go watch it. It's on Netflix. Go do yourself a favor. and then that left on a cliffhanger. So you had to watch the premiere of Season 3 to find out what happened. But then after that, the last half of this season, of that third season, was the final season. At that point, they're having fun. They're just goofing off. They weren't taking themselves as seriously as the second episode or second season. And that ended off, you know, they tied up all the loose ends they could, you know, and then they went off their way. The toys from that one, again, it was a whole new relaunch for Hasbro for the toys as well. And that was successful. They went on to do their own thing. The seasons and the toy lines went for a solid 3 years, mm-hmm. you know, for the seasons. And then after that, they started doing repaints and just different things like that, re-releasing them, this and that. And then right after Beast Wars, they did a follow-up show called Beast Machines. And I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It was pure... Oh, God. They.
What was the biggest fallacy of Beast Machines?
Making Cybertron organic planet.
Really?
That was the whole point of that show, was to bring back the organics to Cybertron. Yeah. So the last image you see of Cybertron on that show was grass, an atmosphere. Yeah, it was... I don't know what the hell they were thinking, but... No, it doesn't work. I'm sorry.
Okay, so it's after Beast Machines.
Well, after Beast Machines, over in Japan, they realized that they had, I believe that was the 15th anniversary coming up. Yeah, 85 to 2000, right? Yeah. it was an anniversary year. So
from 84 to 99, I think. 99 was 15 years.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever. Yeah, so anyway, in 2000, they said, okay, we're going to go back to robots in disguise. And what they did was they went back to vehicles. So they try to take somewhat ordinary vehicles and made them, now with the robot modes, they use what they learned from the Beast Wars toys, which uh-huh. were more articulated and things like that.
Yeah.
And now they had articulated robot figures in Transformers. Uh-huh. And... over in Japan, they had a cartoon and everything, and they brought that back over here. They redubbed it over in the United States, and they brought all the toys over in Japan. It was called Transformers 2000, mm-hmm. or Car Robots. Over in the U.S., when they brought it over, it was just Transformers Robots in Disguise. And that was another thing about that cartoon, was it was animated. It mm-hmm. wasn't the CG. It was back to hand-drawn animation.
Yeah.
I think that just went for a season. The toys were pretty good. Most of them were... of course, brought over from Japan, most of the secondary characters and the Decepticons, or Predacons, were all basically reissues from Beast Wars, mm-hmm. mostly from the Japanese Beast Wars that they didn't get over here, or they weren't used in the animated show over here. Which, by the way, over in Japan, there was Beast Wars 2. Yeah. Which was an animated show, not CG. It was animated, but it was Beast Wars. And the cool thing about that is they had their own line of Beast Wars. Nice. Like Optimus he transformed into a lion.
Oh.
Yeah, and then so things like that. They had their own take on Beast Wars, which that was a pretty fun show too. So if you get a chance, it's not dubbed or anything. They have it in subtitles, unless something's changed in the last few years. I don't know about, but yeah, go check that one out too. If you have a ways. Of finding it, it's worth just checking out just to see the animation and things like that. Yeah. And some of the characters that were only toys over here, you can see animated over in Japan. So,
okay.
Again, it's just a fun little show. So after Robots in Disguise, that I wouldn't say that was too successful. It was just kind of lingering. And then Hasbro, to their credit, they said they needed to do something to freshen things up. So what they did, they embarked on the whole, what do they call it? The Unicron trilogy? It was a trilogy of lines. But that was like the first time we got a Unicron
toy. Yeah, that was a Unicron trilogy, yeah.
Yeah. Which I believe that was on, you had Armada, you had Energon, and then you had Cybertron.
Yes.
There was a toy line and a simultaneous cartoon at the same time.
Yeah.
And I want to say the Unicron figure was, I think that was Energon.
Yes. I want to say yes. I think it is Energon.
I could be mistaken on that. If I'm wrong, fuck it. Whatever.
You should know. You have it.
Thank you. Yes, I have the damn thing. Yes. You know what I'm getting confused on? Is because they did, they would reissue things on the different lines.
Yeah.
So I'm getting messed up on that. But anyway, it was in one of those toys. I'm sure you can find it. It's Unicron. Go get yourself. But each one of those those toy lines and everything had its own little gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
Armada had little mini cons, which were little smaller yes. Transformers that would transform. Which I think, now I'm thinking, I think Unicron was Armada because he had the little satellite, little moon.
Yeah.
And that would transform. So I think it was Armada. So anyway. Energon, I really can't remember what the gimmick on that one. I know Cybertron had
keys.
Their little Cybertron keys.
Yeah.
And you had to do that to unlock certain things.
The figure was locked, and when you turned it, it kind of like popped itself loose to where you can start transforming it.
Yeah. I know I had one of the figures I bought for Cybertron was Soundwave. And he was he transformed to a jet, which is, I know,
it was a triangle jet?
Yeah.
Looking?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think was an homage to the original Seeker jets from the original animated cartoon.
But somehow still had like the Soundwave-ish paint job, like the buttons,
a
player.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I got it, because I liked
the deco.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you had to use the Cybertron key to unlock his chest, which had a laser beak in it.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
I have a little Legends version of him.
Do you?
Yeah, the one that's like as big as my hand. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there was the thing is with those cartoons, they were incorporating animated with the kind of like the CG animation.
Yeah.
It wasn't like full on like Beast Wars animation, but it was like
a little mix of both
kind of. Yeah. It was kind of weird, but and again, the good thing is by this time you start to realize that it's fun to take the mythos of Transformers and you don't necessarily have to have a full on continuation of everything.
Yeah.
You had Generation 1, which is its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Beast Wars, which is its own thing. And then you have Robots in Disguise, or Car Robots, whatever. Mm-hmm. That was its own thing.
And then
you
trilogy.
And then the trilogy, which was its own thing. So it's if you take it for what it's worth, you know, look at them as those series.
Yeah.
You know, and you can use those different continuity. You know, you don't have to connect the dots on everything. You can just have fun with it and say, okay, well, in Robots in Disguise, that's the only thing that happened in that continuity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then in the trilogy, that's what happened in that one. But you said you started collecting around that time.
Yes.
With Cybertron.
Yeah, Cybertron.
Yeah. So that was Optimus. That was your first one?
Optimus was my first one. And then I wound up getting a Bumblebee. That's the one that had the little jet ski trailer.
No. That was the Classics.
Classics, yes. That was my next one. Classics.
Which, by the way, there was a whole other, like, I don't want to say it was the focal point of Hasbro. But it was more of a secondary line. They'd always have, besides their main lines that they were focused on, they would have like subsets, I guess, a sub-series of just collectors, like for collector-based stuff, needs, I guess. And Classics was one of them. There was, you were telling me something about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about this. What is this?
Now that growing old and becoming not growing up, but growing old and becoming a toy collector myself. Just like you said earlier, they separated a lot of the like G1 had its own category, Beast Wars had its own category, and in the collector's world, it's an acronym called CHUG.
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 Like a beer. So it's C is for Classics.
Okay.
H, if I'm butchering this horribly, I apologize in advance because I don't know Japanese too much. Henki, H-E-N-K-E-I.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much just it's the Japanese version of the Classics toy line, just redecos of existing figures to make them look different.
Okay.
Yeah. And then U were the Universe figures, and then G is the Generations figures for that time.
Okay.
And
what these are is just standalone series. It's not part of a major line or anything. It's just
kind of like filler, like to fill the gap in between what one line that just passed and whatever came
fan
next.
Favorite items. Or collectibles, figures, characters that are just maybe repainted a little bit. That's what the whole point of that is. That whole Chug thing is just repaints and re-releases of popular figures.
Yeah.
So if you like, if there was a figure that you wanted to get, but it's hard to find, it's a high sought out collectible, whatever, it's too expensive to find, they'll just re-release it.
A different name, different color.
With a little color different. And that way you have the figure. It's just maybe a little bit different, you know. So that's, if you're a hardcore collector, those are some fun lines to try to collect. I do have some of the Classics because I do like the fact that they went back to like Generation 1 style figures and characters like Bumblebee, Grimlock, Hot Rod. You know, of course, Optimus is in everything.
Yeah.
You know, Starscream. You know, so that's fun to just go back and collect characters from Generation 1 time frame. You know,
yeah.
There's other types of Transformer collectibles that started coming around the mid 2000s. One of them, it was a little mini figures. They were called Heroes of Cybertron. And these were, what, maybe 3-inch figures? Maybe 2-inch. They're really small, yeah. They're little plastic figures. They don't transform, but they're more for, like, just displaying. But those were fun to collect because that was the first time that I remember them using Generation 1 style, like the grid background.
Yeah.
The red for the Autobots, purple for the Decepticons, and the little white grid, you know?
That and, like...
And the old school logo, the Transformers logo.
That and for certain figures, old school vibe. Like, I remember I'd never seen, like, going back in the old action figures, the old Transformers, they never had a Bug Bumblebee, the Volkswagen Bug. And I remember the little Cybertron cars that you're talking about, they had, like, it wasn't like the official one, but you can tell that it was close enough to it that it looked like, if you looked at it, a casual person would say, oh, hey, that looks like the Volkswagen Bug.
You're talking about the Classics one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what I was saying about the Classics. It's just, it was a good set to collect, you know, a good series to collect. But the Heroes of Cybertron, those were just non-transformer ones. They were just display purposes only. Yeah. And they had, the design of them was from, like, the box art.
Yeah.
Because some of the Generation 1 box art had some badass drawings of... renderings of some of the characters. And for back in the day, you didn't really get that. Like, they would look really badass as robots, and then you get a toy and you transform, and it's like, this is not what that looks like.
This is not compute.
Yeah. So anyway, those were just some fun little toy lines to collect there. There were some other ones that came around, and it's not really just more or less just for Transformers, but these last couple years, a new style of collectibles have started coming out.
Yeah.
There's a brand out there called Funko.
Yes.
And...
vinyl figures.
Yeah, little vinyl figures. Tell us a little bit about those.
I don't have a damn clue what Funkos are. I just know that they're freaking addictive people. But they're Funko has a license with almost everybody. They have Walking Dead. They have Sons of Anarchy. They have Star Wars. They have Marvel. They have DC. The first Funkos that actually were made were just recently for this brand new movie. That's the first time that they dabbled into the line. So they had Optimus Prime, they had Autobot Drift, and they had a Bumblebee.
Yeah.
For now. Walmart's about to have their own limited edition. It's pretty much going to be Stinger, which was the upgraded version of Bumblebee in the fourth movie, which is pretty much just the Bumblebee that's out now, but painted red.
Okay.
And then they're going to have a limited edition Bumblebee where it's an arm cannon.
Oh, okay.
Instead of just two hands.
Yeah, but the Funko Pops are just like... They're cute little.
That's like the next caboose in the train of vinyl figures. Because before Funko, the vinyls, there used to be, well, there still is. There's Tokidoki. Tokidoki stepped into vinyl stuff. They do a lot of artsy stuff. They have a lot of artsy shirts and merchandise and stuff. Okay. There's also Kid Robot. That's where I first got into vinyl collecting, okay, with Kid Robot figures. And even at the same time that Kid Robot came out, there was another brand that was Mighty Mugs.
Okay.
Mighty Mugs was between Kid Robot and Mighty Mugs. I don't remember the timing. That's like the first.
It all came out around the same time.
Yeah. And Mighty Mugs were these 5-inch.
Roughly.
I want to say about 5-inch.
Roughly. Yeah.
And they had what Funko used to have. The Mighty Mugs, there was Star Wars, there was Indiana Jones, there was G.I. Joe.
Like, Funko, like, just and, ripped them apart. Like, yeah. You don't see Mighty Mugs
and,
anymore.
Yeah, well, rarely. And they had Transformers, and they were the ones where, hey, you can get... The shape was weird. Like, it was, like, a round head, like tube-type-looking arms and, like, stout legs and, like, this round belly. But it's vinyl art. Like, it's a different take. And it looked... And for certain people that like that kind of thing,
right,
they looked awesome. I've got a couple of them. I've got both the Bumblebees, the one from the Generation 1, mm-hmm, with the little horns that come out. And then the other one, they did a paint job for the... I think it was the first Transformers movie, where it's the Camaro, but it's a lot of yellow and black, but it comes across like the movie setup.
When I remember when the Mighty Mugs came out, I just think that they were ahead of its time, maybe. Or I just wasn't ready for that because I saw
it was a niche market that at the time didn't look like it was going to grow.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, they started something, and I think Funko saw that there was something there.
Yeah,
and they just kind of tweaked it a little bit, and they found their niche, you know. Yeah. And it blew off that. There was something that you just recently showed me. There's a company out there.
Oh, that's following in the footsteps of Kid Robot, because right now Kid Robot is probably the main vinyl toy maker that gets into licensing. Like, there's Kid Robot Street Fighter figures. Mm-hmm. There's Kid Robot Ninja Turtles figures. They've done Kid Robot Simpsons, Family Guy, Futurama. So there's this new upstart called the Loyal Subjects.
Okay.
That I've been into for about a year and a half or 2 years. And they actually got the license to do Transformers. And I've got my hands on a couple of them, a couple of my favorite ones, you know, that stand out because the characters I like. Collecting the sets sometimes can be very hard because even like Kid Robot, Togedoki, Loyal Subjects, they have chase figures. So to paint the picture for the listeners, you get a box, there's 20 little figures. Out of those 20 figures, you might get two Optimuses, two Prowls, two Megatrons, two Soundwaves, and maybe one like off-painted like Nemesis Prime, like Optimus in black,
right?
Or Cybertron Bumblebee. And then in every 25 little boxes, there's another guy. And then if you get 5 cases, which is like 100 little boxes, there might be one in that 100, which is Skywarp.
Damn you, Skywarp.
But that's how they got the collectors, because the collectors have that ADD where they have to have everything.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
So when there's one rare, they're going to try to buy as many as they can, or secondary market to like.
I'm glad I bought a house and a car and other shit like that, so I don't have to worry about this crap anymore.
Yeah, it can be very painful to the wallet.
Yeah, I've been there.
Especially now since Loyal Subjects is finishing up their they did a second series of Transformers where the joints are different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more articulation and there's more like accessories that come with the figures. But they did a regular set, and then they did a special Hot Topic set where you only buy them at Hot Topic. And they have like different people in there than what the original set had. So now the collectors are going everywhere to find all these different ones. Like Hot Topic only has two other Autobots, Slag and Snarl. And those aren't in the original Series 2 set. And then the Series 2 set now has a talking Optimus Prime. Three-inch figure of Optimus, but he has a button on the back and he has phrases and he comes with an axe.
Peter Cullen's voice, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then another recent thing, since Lego damn near hit a home run with everything that they've done lately. Every time they got a license, Harry Potter, Marvel, right. DC, they've been hitting these sets out of the park left and right. They have some awesome sets.
Who'd have thunk it?
Right? Yeah. So another company called Creo decided to get into the game. They got the license to G.I. Joe. They got the license to Transformers. And they started putting out sets. So the first series was basically most of your G1 guys.
Yeah.
I was able to get through us, not secondhand as in used, but like whatever doesn't sell at Toys R Us, Target, Walmart, they get handed down to Marshalls, Ross, TJ Maxx, Discount Double D's.
Right.
or DD's Discounts. I forget what it's called, but I see that in the sign. And I got it at like 65% off the whole Optimus Prime. And I'm not talking about just a little truck. I'm talking about the pieces. I'll take up this entire table laying out all the colors. The truck and the trailer.
Damn.
It's badass, dude.
It's like Legos, but it's Transformers.
Yeah, season 2, they got into the Beast Hunters, which we'll get into that in a little bit. Doing some special sets with Optimus. They also did a, in the first series, backstepping, they did a Devastator set.
Okay.
Where you can build four vehicles that turn into four robots, or you can put the four vehicles together to make a big, huge Gestalt Devastator. Nice. Just freaking awesome. I haven't found one yet at a price I can live with.
You just said the secret word, Gestalt. We have not used that word yet in this episode. And for those of you who don't know what Gestalt is, basically Gestalt means combiner, pretty much. And you would have the ones like the Constructicons, which was Devastator. They would all form up as a big Gestalt, and the Gestalt was called Devastator, right? Yeah. And then you had the other ones, the Stunicons. Mm-hmm. You had the Aerial Bots. Mm-hmm. You had the Protective Bots. Mm-hmm. You had the Technobots. Mm-hmm. You had the the Combaticons. That's what I was thinking of. Then you had the
Predacons.
Predacons.
Yeah.
You had the Terracons.
Uh-huh.
Later on, you had the Seacons.
Yes.
There was another one towards the later one, the later series. It was another. I'm losing my train of thought on that one. But there was another one. It's, dang it! I can't think of it. Anyway, Google it.
Computron.
No, that was Computron. Was the did I say Technobots already?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Computron was
The Creoles, they also sell those. They also sell combiners where it's four guys and you put them together. You can make four little Transformers, four little guys, four little bots, or you can put them together and make your own. They had literally sets. So, like, the first one was Devastator and Predaking and Piranicons, and there's, like, four or five sets now. They're, like, going crazy.
Really?
Yeah. And then for this third generation, they started doing, from the new Transformers movie, but they wound up... One of my favorite ones. Out of all that, for some reason, while all these Legos for the Transformers movie came out, they did a throwback of Generation 1 Grimlock.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't transform, but it's just you build him in robot mode, and it looks awesome. Like, it took me like 45 minutes to put together. I was having a fucking blast.
A whole 45 minutes?
All 45 minutes that I'll never get back. Oh! But, yeah. Again, as a kid, I loved playing Legos because they were affordable, and that's what my parents could get me. And as a kid, I was very smart. What the hell happened? I have no idea. But I played.
You beat me to the punch, man.
I played a lot of puzzles and a lot of things that would help your brain. And it felt like the Transformers was like a Rubik's cube for a kid.
Gotcha.
So. Just watching that now when I go to the toy store and I see buy one get one 60% off or buy one get one free, it's like yoink, stack up whatever I can or what I don't have that look cool. So
I've actually seen you do that before. You actually make that sound effect. It's kind of weird actually.
I'm like the guy from Police Academy. I just make random sound effects wherever I go. Beep boop, whatever.
Do you remember alternators?
Yes, I had a few alternators.
Those were badass.
Yes.
If they weren't $20 a pop, I'd have a lot more of them.
Oh, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, alternators took the mindset of Generation 1 to where, hey, let's take cars and trucks that people see now and we'll make them Transformers.
And put them on steroids.
Yes.
These things were freaking amazing.
Yes. For example, Optimus Prime was a single cab Dodge Ram.
Yes.
I want to say Rodimus Prime was a hot rod painted Ford GT.
I believe so, yes. Yeah, they did repaint a couple of them, but yeah, I think he was
there. I had a Sunstreaker that was given to me as a gift for my birthday eons ago, which was a yellow, nice yellow Corvette.
Yeah.
Boss. I forget which one was the alternator was a Subaru WRX STI Impreza.
Oh, Smokescreen.
Smokescreen, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first one I got. And then I also had, I want to say Red Alert. He was whoever the Dodge Viper was. He was a red Dodge Viper. I want to say so. I could be wrong. I don't know.
It's been a while because they don't make them anymore.
Yeah, because they're so expensive. Nobody bought them over here.
They had a Comic-Con exclusive Nemesis Prime, which was the black Dodge Ram, but that almost went triple digits.
I have a black Dodge pickup truck. I cannot tell you how much I want that fucking thing. And I can never find it.
It's rare.
It is really rare.
Yeah.
But that's a fun line. And another good thing about that series... was they brought back diecast?
Yeah,
that was the first time they did that, and that was another reason. It was like $20 a pop.
It's a straight up metal. That still hurts if you throw it to somebody.
But those were that was a fun line to try to collect those. And I'm telling you, man, if that was 5 years earlier than when they came out, I would have had a lot of them.
Yeah,
but things happen. You know, you get houses and cars and
yeah, crap. Life gets in the way.
Yeah, yeah. Damn life. Getting out of the way of my fun. Alright, so there's one aspect of Transformers that we really haven't covered yet, and that's the comic books. Originally, there was some comics from Marvel mm-hmm. back in the 80s to coincide with everything, and as far as storytelling goes, yeah, definitely those hold up a little bit better than the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And with those, after, again, just like the cartoon, after the US series ended, it did continue over in the UK. And that lasted for
a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hundreds of issues. Yeah.
Even now, IDW, they still do best of UK books. Where it's like, not like a comic book, but like...
like a trade.
Like a trade, yeah, paperback. Where it's like five or six issues of like whatever the best was, that the best they had at the
time. That ended a few years later. They brought it back through Marvel still for Generation 2. Mm-hmm. And that was just a way of reintroducing it to get more sales and things like that and make the word out about Generation 2. And that lasted very long, you know. But it took a break for a long time for comics.
Yeah.
And then there was a company called Dreamwave.
Yes.
Which that was a really nostalgic. That was the first time you bring nostalgia back to Generation 1.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the series was called Generation 1. But there was an artist on there called Pat Lee. His renderings, his drawings of Autobots, except just Transformers in general, were outstanding. Some of the most beautiful work I remember seeing. Just because it was the first time that much attention and love had been put into drawing Transformers. I actually have almost all his stuff turned into prints.
Yeah,
posters and everything. Because you'd have like big gatefold comic book covers, which would spread out. And yeah, I have a couple of his posters actually. That whole company at Dreamwave, that was basically all Transformers and G.I. Joe comics. Yeah. You know, that's what they based their whole company on. And that was a fun series, but it didn't really ultimately just kind of phased out. Right when they were going out, a new company was coming in called IDW.
Yes.
Now, IDW, they are still producing comics to this day.
Transformers comics specifically, yes. Among others.
Yes. They're not basing everything on one line yet.
Yeah.
But originally, they started off with a bunch of miniseries.
Yes.
Which kind of rebooted the franchise for their
timeline.
Yeah. What were the three miniseries?
Before the three miniseries, I think they had Stormbringer.
No, that came after.
That came after?
Yeah.
Okay. They had a three series. It was Infiltration was first. That was six issues. And then Escalation was another six issues. And then we had Devastation, that was another six issues. All three of them really good.
The one after that is the one that I hearken to most, All Hell Megatron. All Hell Megatron was fantastic.
So yeah, Devastation is where Optimus dies.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Well, when doesn't he die?
When doesn't he die? And All Hell Megatron basically is the saga of the Decepticons post-Optimus Prime death and somehow him coming back to life.
And this is like Generation 1 Transformers. So this was like on Earth, when they're still on Earth.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes their continuity that you're familiar with and kind of flips it upside down. Like, what if Optimus died and Megatron does take over Earth, pretty much? So it was interesting. I would definitely recommend that. There's some trades and things like that for All Hell Megatron.
The last four, they did 12 issues of Megatron, and then after that, they did a four mini after called Coda, which it kind of fell off the timeline a little bit, but the original 12 of All Hell Megatron, I have every single one of them, and I have them, the variant covers. The variant covers of that series is what I hearken to the most because they looked like old Russian war propaganda
posters. I was about
to
say the propaganda posters,
They looked like propaganda posters. They were some of the best artwork I've ever seen. Like, they have a shot of a black shadow of Optimus shattered.
Yes, yeah.
And then they have another one of... there's so many of them. That's the one that stands out the most. There's another one that isn't a variant cover where it's Megatron on top of a hill with like this staff and it's got Optimus's head on it.
Yeah. On a spike.
Or like pike, that. That's it. Set the tone for what you were going to get on that throughout that whole storyline, the arc of the feud in between the Decepticons trying to take over and Megatron. What now? Like, where's my rival? Like, I don't have a rival, you know. And then the Autobots trying to find a way to regroup and trying to find a way to get Optimus back to life. And then the last like two or three issues of All Hell Megatron that built up to that. Oh wow, that's some. The way you feel about the Beast Wars arc as the best storytelling, I think there's very few things in the Transformers comic series that can top those 12 issues of All Hell Megatron.
Okay. And definitely check it out, All Hell Megatron. After that, they did some more, a couple series like Stormbringer. There was an ongoing series also.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if this was before or after the ongoing series, but there was a little mini-series called...
Last Stand of the Wreckers?
Yes.
Yeah, Last Stand of the Wreckers. That's what actually got me back into the comics. The All Hell Megatron, I do have the trade of that.
Yeah.
But after that, I kind of
I think IDW, they were on a good roll. They did a lot of miniseries, but they never really attached themselves to one ongoing arc. They did a four-issue Bumblebee miniseries. They did a four-issue Ironhide miniseries for his origin. They used to have spotlights.
Yeah.
So they had one comic based on Soundwave. They had one comic based on Prime. They had what got me into Transformers, like getting completely back into it. They had a four-issue miniseries on a brand new Transformer that they came up with from scratch called Drift, which was a Decepticon turned Autobot.
Right.
But still kind of just on his own.
Because no one trusts him.
Yeah, because no one would trust him, and he wouldn't trust anybody else. And we wound up getting an iteration of him in the new movie that came out.
But, yeah.
But we'll get to that. And then once the All Hail Megatron series finished, I think they were ready to start their own... their own ongoing. And then once that happened, they decided, hey, you know what? Let's make more money. Let's split them into two different ongoings. So now we have... Robots in Disguise on one side, which is one team of Autobots and against Decepticons, and then we have Robots in Disguise, and then there's More Than Meets the Eye, which is another group of Transformers on their own storyline.
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but yeah. I do want to say, Last Stand of the Wreckers was my reintroduction to IDW because, like we mentioned a second ago, there's a lot of miniseries and stuff like that. To me, it was like too much. I threw my hands up. I was like, I'm done. I don't know what is what, you know, because this is all over the place. But they kind of got rid of the miniseries aspects of things. I didn't read any of the spotlights, but now I kind of wish I did because I am reading. I read Last Stand of the Wreckers, which is fantastic.
I definitely
would recommend that as a read.
It's not a lot. It's five issues, I think.
Seven issues. Now. After Last Stand of the Wreckers, that's when you don't need to read that, but that does tie in a couple things to the ongoing.
Yeah.
Now, on the ongoing series, which bled into the two new series, the ongoing left a couple things open. That's when they had to split it out.
Yeah.
The war is over. Optimus, he relinquishes his leadership. He goes back to Orion Pax, which is his prior name, and he's off on his own. He's like, screw you guys, I'm out of here. So that in Robots in Disguise title, well, they set up in the first issue that Hot Rod or Rodimus, he still is going by Rodimus on that. I believe he does have the Matrix also.
Yeah.
He has his crew. He like takes volunteers. They're gonna go search
the Knights of something.
Yeah, Knights of Cybertron. They're gonna go find these other relics, myths, whatever. They're gonna go on their own. Down here on Cybertron,
Bumblebee
is, this is kind of weird. Robots in Disguise takes a cue. It's more political because the war is over. Megatron's gone. Optimus is gone. Bumblebee is trying to
unify the Autobots.
He's trying to get a democracy going, and he's trying to do this and that, and he's trying to unite all the Transformers in together, and
it ain't working.
It's not really political crap aside. Just not working. I find myself more intrigued and more engaged in More Than Meets the Eye, which is Rodimus's story. The artwork, the writing on that one, for me, is so much more entertaining. I think he's got so much more personalities in all the Transformers.
Added personality to them. Like, Rodimus is kind of like... He has that rebel vibe now that he's got his own group.
He's a smartass. He's a leader, but he's a smartass. Oh, God. There was... Once I found this was an ongoing gag, this was hilarious. He'll... Before they do a big trip or they'll go off on a mission or anything, he'll gather all the Autobots around and he'll start, like, doing his little speech, and then they cut to, like, a couple of Autobots and they're like, look, this is where he's going to say, till all are one. And then, like, they'll cut to Rodimus... Till all are one. So, like, Rodimus has to say till all are one. It's just, if you're a fan of the movie, the old animated movie, that's just, it does get much better than that. And that's where you can tell the writers are just fans of just the source material. So, I find myself more engaged in that series. I'm starting to fall off of Robots in Disguise. I didn't really, it's good, don't get me wrong. But, Nick, compared to More Than Meets the Eye, if I can only choose one title to go with, I'm going More Than Meets the Eye. That's the more fun title for me.
Yeah.
What about you? Are you reading either one of these?
I caught up until the split happened, and then I got maybe 7 issues in on both, and it just became too hard because it's one thing when I have one continuity where they're saying, oh, to understand what this means, read issue 4, 5, and 6 of this subtitle or this miniseries. Yeah. But when there's 2 of them going on doing that, it feels like it's too much. And I think I just stopped.
And this is why I say that I wish I did read the spotlights and things like that, because there are certain times where it says reference spotlight, you know, or Hot Rod spotlight or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't read those because it's a spotlight on Hot Rod or RC or Cup or one of these other characters. Might and I'm be. Thinking, well, I already know those characters. I don't need to read them. I didn't know that they're doing a spotlight on to get you familiar with their version of those characters.
Yeah.
So, like, certain things that would happen in those spotlights is reflected of those characters.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know RC is now, like, an assassin. Like, I saw that. I was like, what the hell? She's a silent badass. Assassin. Yeah, she's a badass. And I was like, okay, this isn't RC that I know. But it's fun. You know, it's different. It's taking characters that you're familiar with, and it's just putting a little spin on to make it more interesting. So, definitely. Like, the whole, there's a subtopic on, a sub-storyline on More Than Meets the Eye where Cyclonus, he's kind of a stowaway, and he's trying to join them, get in their ranks, and be like, no one trusts him. He's a freaking Decepticon, you know? They just fought him in the last war. So it's a nice little change.
Kind of has that All Hail Megatron feel when Thundercracker was the one that betrayed Megatron, and that's how they...
Spoiler!
Yeah.
Jesus. But anyway, so in a nutshell, I just want to say that these new IDW comics, definitely worth checking out. The way I got back into them was through Comixology, the digital comics app. Sometimes they'll do a lot of sales and specials, and I just happened to catch a really good sale. And they had like everything either half off or 99 cents per issue. So yeah, I just bought a crap load of
the thing that got me back into comics again. I were somebody suckered me into watching one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. I don't know why. I think I just wanted to get out of the house, and there was a trailer for a movie where astronauts went up into space. They land on the moon. The little cart starts driving around looking the atmosphere to see what's there, and there's the shape of this huge robot thing that swings a punch at the little cart and knocks it out and loses the signal, and then the letters start coming up. Transformers. Holy crap, Transformers is actually going to be made into a movie. When I found this out, I found out through some research that IDW had the contract for Transformers, and they were going to do a 4-issue prequel to set up the movie. So I bought those comics, and in reading those and getting into the first movie, like, they had the 4-issue prequel, and then they had 4 issues that was pretty much the movie in comic book form. So if you wanted to know what the movie was going to be basically from start to finish before it came out, I knew because I read them all.
Yeah.
And while I was going to the comic book store, I was like, there's more than one Transformer story? And that's when I got into, I think it was Escalation at that time. Devastation.
It might have been after that, yeah. So
I think Devastation. And I picked that up, and I realized, wait, this is the third part of a story? Where are the first two? And then I started, like, the old issues for, like, $1.
Yeah, yeah.
Infiltration, Escalation. And I started, so I built, and that's how I built up my collection. Then when I noticed, oh, Spotlight, Bumblebee, Spotlight, Hot Rod, Spotlight, Optimus, like, oh, these are only 1-issue stories? Okay, I'll keep my hand. And before I knew it, I've got 3 long boxes full of fucking Transformer comics and shit. You know?
It's easy to do.
Yeah, but that's what got me back in.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it, so let's mention the movies.
The first one. Let's start with the first one.
Okay, you mentioned the trailer, and for all intents and purposes, before the movies came out, the teaser came out, and that did get me going. I was like, okay, alright, let's how are they going to do this now? And it says, directed by Michael Bay. He's like, okay, and Steven Spielberg, executive producer... Okay.
I didn't know much about movies behind the scenes. Like, jeez. I didn't care who it was. I just saw Transformers in the movie theater. Okay, shut up and take my money. In a nutshell. To the point that I saw it 8 different times.
The movie?
The first Transformers movie.
Wow.
I saw it 8 different times, twice in IMAX. And that was all in a span of like 3 weeks.
Okay. In a nutshell, in a nutshell, because we can spend another 2 hours talking about this. In a nutshell, pros and cons about the first movie.
Pros, I overdosed on endorphins from watching the movie because it was such a nostalgia trip for me. As soon as I heard the first 10 seconds of Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime talking and introducing the whole story of that movie, I was leaning in like an 8-year-old with my bucket of popcorn hugged closely to my boobies. I was freaking lost in it. No matter how many cons that movie had, the pro will always outdo it, that it was the biggest nostalgia that I have had in a very long time. And that alone holds it up for me as out of the four so far. That's like the top one.
All right.
Whatever flaws it might have, Optimus wasn't a sleeper cab trailer. It didn't have flames on it. Oh, Bumblebee wasn't a Camaro. I owned a Camaro. I've always wanted one as a kid. That got me into action figure collecting of Transformers because they had the Camaro. So I bought the old school 69 Camaro, and then I bought the 2005 concept car Camaro, and then I bought the black one with the yellow stripes, which was Stealth Bumblebee, and then I bought the red painted variant, which was Cliff Jumper, and those were the four. And then I got the Evolution of a Hero 2-pack, which was the old one and a new one in one nice little box, and I have a nice little set of original. Yeah. Camaro. I want a Camaro. And even now, my oldest nephew, he's like, I'm saving up my money. My first car is going to be the Bumblebee Camaro from Transformers. I was like, you keep saving. You're going to have a long way to go.
I see what you're saying about that first movie, about the nostalgia factor kicking in. Yeah, just hearing Peter Cullen back doing Optimus again, that was by itself, it's definitely a big pro of that movie. And when I was watching that movie, I'm not going to lie, I got a little goosebumps whenever all the Autobots roll into the alley the first time, and you see them all transforming, and then they call off all their names, and it's like, oh, these are all the characters that I know. You know, so
yeah,
it's kind of hard, because Transformers as the movie, as good as the nostalgia trip was, sometimes it takes a back seat to everything they did wrong with this franchise. Shia LaBeouf, his whole character, I don't want to go into much detail about it, but I didn't like it. Secondly, the designs themselves, I can see where they're going with on that, maybe, possibly, is making it more realistic, like what it would look like if they were transforming into actual robots.
Like if they used actual pieces instead of, oh, where'd that part come from? I don't see that in the truck when they transform.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And just when the first couple of times I watched the movie, I couldn't really follow what was happening when they're like fighting and things like that. It's like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? What's like, I just see like sparks flying and different things. So granted, that was the first time going at it. You can't really blame them too much on that. But maybe they spin a little bit better. Maybe they redesign them just a little bit more.
You were able to bend the grading curve a lot because it was the first time trying to do it.
It's an undertaking.
I can understand why they went with this. I can understand, hey, you want to get a licensed company so you can try to get a lot of these cars on the cheap and actually put them on profile. Yeah, sign a contract with General Motors so you can get Jazz as the Pontiac Solstice, so you can get Bumblebee as a Camaro, so you can get
that was a genius. I mean, I like
so you,
that.
So
that
you
was,
can get so yeah. you can get Ratchet as a Hummer, so you can get Ironhide as a GMC Topkick. You know, in that aspect, you know, I grew up watching Ironhide as a van.
Yeah.
So I can't bitch about it at the end of the day because Ironhide looked badass as a.
No,
as
you like, gotta tweak the characters to their strengths.
And at the end of the day. You're not looking to watch the Transformers movie to say, oh man, this better be exactly like G1. There's like 18 different versions of the Transformers story. This is just another one.
There was a big departure of Bumblebee, though, because I was thinking, if it was a badass yellow sports car, why can't it be Sunstreaker? You know?
Well, because that's not the most badass sports car. You know, if you want a Sunstreaker, like the Alternator, break out the Corvette, which we'll get later on.
But anyways, it's things like that. Kind of nitpicking. I will say a couple of highlights for the first movie was a couple of lines that Peter Cullen had to... there was a survey, like a poll. Like what they said, what lines do you want Peter Cullen to say in the movie? And you voted for him. And that's when he said, "One shall stand, one shall fall." You know, that was a line.
Freedom's
that,
the right of all sentient
beings. So they did. They incorporated the fans into the movie. You know, another little moment that I liked about the first movie was, other than, you know, all the Autobots coming up for the first time, there was a scene where Megatron actually comes up with Starscream.
Oh,
and Starscream says, "Autobots got away," or whatever. And Megatron, "You disappoint me, Starscream.
You failed me yet again.
You failed me yet again, Starscream." And that was, oh, I got goosebumps to say that. Because that was a big, I mean, throughout the whole frame, you know, the whole everything.
Like, some of the nuances that you remember from G1, like, it trickled in. Like,
Starscream and Megatron always going at it.
You got that in part one.
I just wish they followed up on it, though. They didn't
a
really
little bit in part two, after they killed Optimus and they're on top of the building, and Megatron's, like, running over Starscream with his foot, and it's like a tire tread of the tank, and it's turning on Starscream. Like, you got more of that vibe between the two, but I think after the second one, that's where it kind of dropped off.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even existent in the third movie. Okay, let's talk about this. The second movie, I don't know if there's any redeeming qualities of part two.
I can name a few. Number one, the feeling I got watching Optimus Prime die as a kid, I cried the first time when Megatron stabbed him in the back. When you saw, like, a legit like, the way they
the forest scene when they're fighting.
The scene, the entire forest scene, right. With all
that
four,
was okay. That was a
with
good scene.
All four movies. There's good parts in all of them, but I think as bad as the second movie is, probably the worst out of all four of them. Definitely. So far, that has probably the most moving scene for me as a fan.
Yeah.
Like Optimus taking on all those three guys, and he's like, "You'll never stop at one. I'll take all of you." And he breaks one of the dude's heads off. I'm like, "Holy crap, he's going to do it." And then boom, from behind. Oh, man. I was bawling.
You were sucked into it,
yeah. Man. That's what I like about Michael Bay doing the movies. Like, whatever gripe he has, at the end of the day, if I'm leaning forward and I'm looking up and I start having these emotions and I start getting goosebumps and all this, he's doing his job for me.
Okay.
You know, that scene.
It's all subjective.
Between that scene in the forest and then hearing the backstory before I saw it, that they used like 20 to 25 different CGI computers to try to pull off the Devastator transformation for the first time, and they all got burnt out before they did. Like, it took that much work to make the Devastator thing work, regardless of how weak he came out or how he died. Watching all seven of the machines
pull
up.
How many burned out while they're making his balls? you gonna do that one?
Okay. Devil's advocate. You've got two construction vehicles with two ball cranes. Where else would you put them?
Don't put them in the first place.
You want to have them as boobs in the front? You know, like pendulums. They're just swinging back and forth. Where else would you put them? Like, really?
They don't have to be anatomy, for God's sake. Jesus.
Oh, but that Devastator transformation, all the bits and pieces, and the way he used his dump truck mode to, like, suck up everything and then have it spit out the back.
Like a maw.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's the only redeeming quality.
I think you're
the
first person I've heard to say anything positive about Devastator in that movie.
It was different. Like, he's huge. Like, if you stand him up straight, there's no logical way that Optimus or anybody can beat him. So the way they had him, like, kind of like a little throwback to Optimus Primal, where he's walking on his arms, on his knuckles, like low, to make it look like he can kind of still have some kind of offense.
Like more creature than anything.
Yeah, more creature. I liked it. I wish there was more of it. Like, a lot of the good moments of the Transformers, it got overshadowed by all the human story and all this. When the Transformers movie, you're not there to watch Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox try to kiss and make up and fix a relationship. You're there to watch fucking Transformers transform and beat the shit out of each other.
Right.
Which there wasn't a lot of in the second one. What'd you think of the third one?
Third one, I could see that they were trying to right the wrongs. But I think the stigma of part two was just...
The stench was too much, right?
Yeah. I like a few nods. Like, they finally brought in Optimus' trailer.
Yes.
That was a nice little touch there.
Leonard Nimoy as Sentinel Prime.
Yeah. I just don't know if, as far as a villain goes, I don't know if it was the right choice for that movie.
I would have wanted to see him voice something else, because I like Nimoy has a threatening voice for a voice actor that he should have come across as something more villainous, I think, as opposed to just, oh, hey, another Autobot that just turned Decepticon and nobody knew it. I love the trailer part.
It's not really memorable for me. I mean, it's just, it was there. It was just like a third movie, you know, and it's just... by that point, I was already had low expectations.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why it's not really standing out too much for me. It still had you know, they had the falling out with Megan Fox, so she was in the movie, but we still had Shia LaFuck on there. And, and it was just, I don't know, it was just another movie for me. It wasn't groundbreaking or anything like that. But I could see they were trying to amend some of the things. Now, we mentioned this before at the start of the show.
You recently saw
part four. I recently saw part four.
A reboot-ish of the story of the whole franchise. There's no Shia LaBeouf.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, I was... I will say I was impressed with the fact that you did have to watch part three, and they referenced the big battle scene of Chicago from part three, so you know what's going on in this one. Like, why is Optimus hiding?
Yeah.
You know, why is everything going... Why does everybody know about Transformers now? Why, you know, why are they being hunted? Mm-hmm. And they referenced... That's what happened with the big invasion of part three. So it was good.
5 years later, and there's still bits and pieces of those ships still laying out there in the towns, like Chicago, up
yeah.
to downtown.
And all they're doing is hiding. They're not doing anything. They're just hiding. And it doesn't matter if it's Autobot or Decepticon. They're a Transformer because humans don't know the difference between.
They don't care about the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So to that aspect, I give them a little thumbs up for that because they were able to get some kind of fluid continuity going with this. The Transformers mythos for the Bay Formers.
Yeah.
What are some of the pros that you liked about it? Since you watched it four fucking times.
I like the fact that this is the fourth movie, so Optimus shouldn't be so optimistic. You know, he was, you know, it rubs a couple of people the wrong way. It's like, hey, this is Optimus Prime. He's killing a human. Spoiler. But at some point when you're in the fourth movie and your guys are getting shot and getting assassinated and getting killed in this war, at some point you need to look out for you and your team. And with no matter who's in your way, whether just like the humans don't care if it's Autobot or Decepticon, Optimus didn't
care. So it's okay for the hero to kill and the villain. It's okay for him to kill.
Yeah.
Did you watch Man of Steel?
Yeah.
Did you what'd you think of the ending of that one?
Because
you know he kills.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I didn't read the. I'm not a Superman fan at all.
But just
as far as comic,
you know the. You know where I'm going with that, right?
The origin story is that the reason why he doesn't kill anymore is because he did once, and this is the story we got. This is why.
All right.
Well. It didn't make sense that the whole town got destroyed, and like now he's dead, and no repercussion. But storyline wise, I can understand why he did it. You know, like Optimus, I can understand why he did it.
Okay, so getting back to Transformers.
Fucking lockdown in a Lamborghini
Aventador was fucking badass.
That's probably one of my favorite sports cars right now is a Lamborghini Aventador, and that looks sick.
I will say they did a better job of distinguishing the Transformers this time, and knowing how to control battle scenes and fight scenes.
Between... the character of Lockdown as the villain and the voice work of John Goodman as Hound, I think those are the MVPs of the movie.
Yeah, they, I don't think so.
They carried me through the whole movie, one way or the other.
And what a movie this is, because, my God, this was probably one of the longest movies I sat through. Jesus. There was a big epic... seeing this movie where they gotta rescue Mark Wahlberg's daughter from the spaceship.
Yeah,
that's an hour and a half into the movie. I thought that was the end. I thought that was like the final act of the movie. You know, rescue
and then
the girl.
Three more.
There's three more acts of this goddamn thing. It's like when is this thing gonna end?
And they cut 20 minutes apparently from this movie.
Did they? Oh, good God. Man,
I would
the say- uncut DVD is gonna be like a 2-disc special edition.
Yeah. Oh, God. I think out of the four movies, this one held a continuous story from start to finish where I knew going in this was going to be the longest movie, and not the first time I saw it, at not one point did I look at my watch to see, man, it's really this long.
Really?
To me, it didn't feel long.
Man, you are easily pleased, my friend.
Well, I walked in there giving it a fresh shot because it's the fresh...
new. You can defend yourself all you want. I'm just saying you're a very generous person.
And, after a while, it's like, holy crap, now they're finally running into the Dinobots? Oh!
Like 2.5 hours in the damn movie?
Yeah.
Come by for a damn cup of coffee?
If anything, I'm curious to see where this is going. They locked down, dropped the line of, you're not born, you're built.
And your creators want you.
And the creators want you, so being a fan of the original, I can only guess that they're going Quintessons,
right.
Unicron, Cybertron...
So
I want to see him. The next movie I do want to see him back on Cybertron.
Yeah, more especially now that.
And I think they hinted that too.
Yeah, I'm thinking that this is going to be more Optimus by himself as opposed to let me go back to Earth and bring my group and we go together. He took off alone. I think he's doing this on his own. This is going to be like a spotlight pretty much on Optimus. And any movie that just has more Peter Cullen.
Or just a way to bring in new characters.
Yeah.
Kind of like what the cartoon did in the animated movie did. It brought in new characters. Yeah. That's what this is all about. This is sponsored by Hasbro. Hello.
They need new toys, yeah.
Yeah, I can appreciate what they're trying to fix on the whole franchise itself. Yeah. To me, they could have cut basically all the storyline aspects of Mark Wahlberg's character. I do not care about his daughter having a boyfriend that he doesn't approve of, and they're meeting for the first time, and they're bantering back and forth. I don't care that there's that they're going back and forth between all these, his shop, they're foreclosing on their property. And this, there's so much crap going on, I don't need to know
about
this.
Here's the problem with that. You can say the same thing about all four of the movies.
Well, yeah.
The thing is, if we have a movie based solely on the Transformers by themselves, all the fanboys would like it, but we are the extreme minority. Mark Wahlberg being in this movie got all the women to go watch this movie. Having Megan Fox in the first two movies got all the horny kids to go watch this movie. The chick, the lingerie chick from Victoria's Secret got everybody watching the third movie. If it wasn't that, the popularity would not be as high. Because there has to be a little bit of something for everybody. Even though there's more for that than I would like.
Well, here's the thing about that. I can appreciate that they need to get some marketing employee, get well-known actors, whatever, to get the butts in the seats.
Yeah.
But, dude... Cut, edit, something.
Yeah.
You know? Dude, I'm sorry. All those acts they had in that movie?
I think that's the other reason why I'm looking forward to Optimus going in space, because who else is going to space with him? Yeah. Mark Wahlberg staying on the planet, the chick staying on the planet, a lot of the other robots are going to be on the planet. This is pretty much Optimus in a new world with new characters. I'm pretty sure there's going to be little to no humans in it, so there won't be a human aspect to the story. Assuming that's where they're going with.
Yeah.
And bring it. I
know I want to see a different direction, different director taking the reins. What do you feel about a new director coming in? Or does it matter to you?
I don't even think it matters.
As long as you get giant robots fighting each other?
Yeah. As long as Peter Cullen is still talking to me on a big screen, I'll be fine. Yeah.
I did like the fact that they brought in Frank Welker.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear him be Megatron, or Galvatron in this case. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
and their updated version of how Megatron became Galvatron, I like that. They made it more of an effort storyline wise, not just to tie up a lot of loose ends that the first three movies made, but to bring in other aspects of other timelines in the Transformers storyverse to bring in to appease fans that were a fan for a long time.
I will say one thing: watching the trailers. Going back and after watching the movie, you realize the trailers didn't really tell you anything. It was just a lot of shots of Mark Wahlberg and a lot of action scenes.
Yeah.
They didn't tell you shit about the damn movie. Because mm-hmm. I didn't know what was happening as far as where they were going. Because I don't remember anything from like the trailers or anything. And I didn't really hear anything from anybody either as far as plot points, things like that.
The last trailer that came out before the movie hit theaters, Lockdown dropped the line. Or Optimus dropped the line, "Who sent you?" And Lockdown said, "You think you weren't never born, you were built." I think that's when people started putting dots together. It was like, hey, this could be a big deal. Like, I remember watching Lockdown's ship. It looked like a hand. I was like, holy crap, is that the size of Unicron's hand? Like, the rest of the ships come together, and that's how... Like, the hints that they were dropping led me to...
You see where they're
going.
I can
see where they're going with it, and I'm willing to give it a shot if that's what it's going to take. Because, like, for example... they took aspects of the like we mentioned earlier, the G1 Transformers cartoon. There was a three-part trilogy called The Ultimate Doom.
Right.
They took aspects of that in Dark of the Moon, where they got into a spaceship and they were launched, and the Decepticons shot it down, and they thought they killed them. That's the story from the G1 episode of Ultimate Doom. So they're
I'm like John, I'm
because I still frequently watch some of the old
G1 stuff just for nostalgia trip, and I kind of remembered.
No, I was drawing a blank from the movie.
So
well, they do marketing just like that.
Like for example, a more recent one, Lockdown was a brand. I want to say it was a brand new character that was made from Transformers Animated that got such a fan response that they liked the character in the cartoon so much that they thought they could transfer it over to the big screen. And I think they did it justice in that character.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. Well, that's where we stand on the movies.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a couple of things that spawned off besides a lot of toys. From the movies, obviously that's their bread and butter right there.
Yeah.
There was Transformers Animated.
Yes.
It was just a hand drawn animated cartoon,
Japanese style.
Yeah, I didn't really dig it. You know, I tried to watch a few episodes of it, I just couldn't really follow it. It was too cartoony for me.
Yeah.
Not just the animation, I can get past the animation, but the characterizations of the characters, I just couldn't.
The lead human character was a little girl. I think that's kind of hard for guys that like Transformers to try to get into. It hindered a few of friends of mine that tried getting into that because it was hard to get into. But there were, again, another series that had a lot of nods to older stuff. They had headmasters in this.
Did they?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I like the origin of this, where in the future, all of the technology in the future is based off of Megatron. Because
they got his head in there, right?
The creator of Sumdac Industries, Professor Sumdac, he found Megatron's head and wired him to his computer, and that's how he got all this knowledge to.
Now, is this his own continuity in itself?
Yes.
Okay, so this isn't really tied directly into the movie or anything.
This is its own story versus it's not tied to anything.
Okay. All right.
And slowly but surely, the Autobots find out that Sumdac is the one that's keeping Megatron alive, and that's how all these Decepticons start coming back.
Now, what about on this show, Animated?
Yeah.
Is it an ongoing story arc? Like, is it like a continuous, like, you need to watch
season one? Is when they find out that Megatron's still alive. Season two is when Megatron's been put back together and their war is going on. Unfortunately, they had enough for two more seasons, but you know the story, if the toys aren't selling,
right,
then the series got to go. So they crammed two seasons worth into the third and final season, which was, even that was kind of cut a little bit short, and that was it. It was taken off the air after the third season.
Now,
to the point where the first two seasons were released on DVD soon after those seasons finished, the third season of the DVD never came out until 3 months ago. Mm. And this series has been around for like 7 years, and it barely, the third season finally came out on DVD just a couple of months ago.
That must have been because of fan.
Between fan support and Shout Factory trying to get the licenses to get everything tied down to get the third season closed up.
Now,
yeah.
There was another cartoon that was spawned from the movies, Transformers Prime. And let me tell you, that is...
It's up there with Beast Wars for you, huh?
It is.
Yeah.
It is, actually. It took me a while to get into it because, like Beast Wars, it did start off Adventure of the Week type thing. But as it's going...
You see the pieces are there.
The pieces
are
starting to fit together here. And they ran into, they, it formed into a big story arc in season two. That continued to season three, which was...
Beast Hunters.
Yeah. Yeah. And the good thing is about that, because when you say Beast Hunters, you're like, okay, where's the toys at? Yeah. You know, that's all this is. This is all about to get new toys. So you're thinking episode one right out the gate, you're going to have automatic new, all changes to the characters and everything. No, this took... like 5 or 6 episodes to get anywhere near Beast anything.
Yeah.
So I respect that a lot, actually. I thought, okay, that was cool. They're taking the time to tell a story, and then they introduce it where, to the best of their ability, they can wrap it into the toys and everything. So hats off to them on that. It did end on a cliffhanger, which normally that would suck, but what they did was they actually made a movie.
Predacons Rising,
yeah. And you can find Prime and you can find Predacons Rising on Netflix. Is Animated on Netflix also?
No.
No, okay. So you have to get that on DVD. So Prime, Predacons Rising, really good. I would... If you get anything out of this, check out Beast Wars and then check out Prime.
If you want to whet your appetite, the first five episodes of Prime is a five-parter. And The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, voices Cliff Jumper in the first episode, and he dies.
Spoiler! Jeez.
But it's a great... It's the five... Those five episodes is a great palette starter to get you started off. If you like those five... Finish watching Prime, you won't be disappointed. If you're not the biggest fan of those five, don't even waste your time.
And if you're a fan of the original G1 stuff, dude, Peter Cullen and Frank Welker are doing Optimus and Megatron. What else do you want?
There's nods to a lot of stuff in there. There's Unicron is in, I think, in the second season. They did I think this is another aspect that the new movie took. The Silas, his evil company Nest, I think, they created a clone of Optimus called Nemesis Prime, where a human's actually controlling it.
Yeah, and they took that. Yeah, and
they took that in
Age of Extinction.
Yeah, they took that in Age of Extinction. And then the nod to the Beast Hunters were in the third season,
which is basically purely is brought in the first place just to sell toys.
Yeah.
But they did a good job of not making it like so in your face that, hey, we're selling toys, you know. So that's pretty much where we're at. You know, there's been some other aspects like the video games. Yeah. Check those out. War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron. It's on PS3, Xbox 360. Definitely worth checking out. If you're a fan of G1, 80 stuff, these makers of the video games... Yeah, you can tell.
They treated justice.
Yeah, they do.
Definitely. Rise of the Darkspark?
Never played it.
That's the newest game that came out where they try to blend in the games from High Moon Studios, which was War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron, and mix the storyline in with the movie video games that came out, Revenge of the Fallen, the first Transformers, and Dark of the Moon, where it's like you're in the movie world, and then the next level you're in the High Moon's game version world, and it goes back and forth. It's kind of hard. I've played a couple of levels of it. It's kind of hard to keep up with, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
The two-pack of War for Cybertron and Fall for Cybertron, they're good on its own.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Try that.
I would definitely recommend that out for any Transformers fan. If you like to play video games, definitely check those out, too.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty much where we're at on Transformers now. We just got through the last Transformers movie. So just to recap, definitely, you know, Beast Wars, Transformers Prime. As far as comics go, I would definitely check out More Than Meets the Eye. And even Robots in Disguise. Check those out, too.
All Hail Megatron.
Oh, yeah. Just check out, IDW Transformers. IDW Publishing Transformers comics. And for the most part, you'll enjoy them, I think. As far as toys go, is there anything out right now that you would recommend for people to kind of track down or maybe just collect just for the sake of having some Transformers toys?
For anyone that missed the jump on some of the older toys, these are Toys R Us exclusives. They have Evolution 2-packs.
Okay.
Where they have certain guys. For example, I've got my hands on an Optimus 2-pack where the 1984 version is the Classics figure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new version is the old beat up Optimus that was towed away in the garage, with the flame paint job. It's limited only to that set. That paint job's not on any other set. There's a Grimlock version where the old one is a Dinobot figure, not a Grimlock figure, but a Dinobot figure from I think it was I want to say Classics.
Okay.
And then the now version is the Voyager Grimlock figure that's on sale right now. Other than that, I think right now the shelves are just clogged with movie figures.
Yeah. Yeah, right now if you're trying to find a toy, it's all going to be the movie
stuff. The generation stuff, they're few and far between because right now everybody's
That's what everybody's shipping out to the stores is just, you're getting oversaturated with movie toys. Yeah. And some of them, they're not even that good. I mean, they're just like figures. They're not like Transformers or anything.
Yeah, they're just like Titan figures where they're just like statues.
Yeah, I was like, what's the point? Yeah. Why would you have those? Anyway, so I think this is a fun episode. We just talked about, you know, some fun stuff about, you know, a toy line, cartoon, everything, multimedia aspect of Transformers, which is, you know, something near and dear to my heart. So
I can tell you look very passionate throughout the whole thing, wearing your Decepticon t-shirt.
Ah, well, it's the only thing I had to wear. So anyway, thanks again for tuning in. Again, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/ Popculture Rewind and also Twitter at PopcultureRWND.
Give us suggestions if you have anything that you think we should be talking about. I think we've got sitcoms coming up in the near future.
Yeah.
We've been trying to hassle around a Ninja Turtle episode and our huge overgrown toy chests.
Oh, okay.
As far as collections that we have, Transformers is most of my collection. But
yeah, I didn't really go into much detail about my toy collection for Transformers. I think we're going to say that for...
I'm going to let the cat out of the bag since we're talking about it now. The rarest Transformer collectible I have, oddly enough, I have a pair of Nike Zoom FPs that are modeled after Bumblebee. So they're yellow. They have a Transformers emblem on the back. There's Transformer decorations on the soles inside, and they come in an old school Transformers toy box. So on the back of the box, it's the old school like line graph with the speed and everything, and it has hooks on it so you can hang it up, just like an action figure, just like if it was on the mid on the seal card.
Gotcha.
Only 1,000 pairs were made.
Oh wow!
And somehow through being a collector on a certain Transformers forum, a guy in Chicago that sold them, they only sold them at a Foot Locker, House of Hoops. They had opened one there by his house, and I bought them straight up, like face value for me, and shipped them over to the house. Nice. And I've only worn them maybe a handful of times.
You wore them? You took them out of the box?
Oh my god, I took them out of the box. They're worth crap now. Okay, nobody taking them. Mine, goddamn it. Yeah, that's probably the rarest thing I have. Oddly, shoes. Like Transformers shoes. Like they don't turn into like loafers or flip flops. They're just fucking shoes.
So your most valuable Transformer is not even Transformer?
It doesn't transform, no.
I'm trying to think what mine is. I have
a plethora of stuff in there.
Man. One of the rarest ones, I don't know if it's most valuable or anything, but I think one of the rare ones for me is I have a Japanese Transformer, Generation 1. It's a Decepticon called he's called Browning. Because he's named after a Browning gun pistol, yes. And he's a little chrome pistol, like a little mini Megatron.
Yeah,
and he transforms into a little mini. He doesn't. This was the first gimmick where on the cartoon, again in the Japanese, he was in Victory. Mm-hmm. He didn't, you know, in the cartoon when they transformed robots, they grew bigger, right?
Yeah.
And this one, when he used a little gun, he transformed into a little robot. He didn't grow or anything.
Nice.
So, but anyway, having him in the box. The sticker sheet's all nice and clean. Stickers aren't taken off. He's another thing about the Japanese toys. This one, he was a pistol. He actually had little bullets, and you'd put it in there.
That's not the gun that I heard back in the day that it was illegal for a while to ship over through the U.S. through customs because they thought it was a legitimate weapon
that's why you can't get it over here. It's just a Japanese only exclusive.
Yeah.
But no, Megatron was like that too. Like, now if you get any kind of reproductions of Megatron, he's got that little orange piece, little plastic piece over the barrel now. Like, over the...
I have one. The little bitty Legends figure. I have a Megatron that transforms into a gun, and it has the orange piece on the tip.
That's why. It's a customs thing, yeah. But anyway, that's probably my... Probably one of my rarest ones, I would have to say. Yeah.
Nice.
But we'll delve into that another time.
Another time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks again for tuning in for us, folks. Until next time, always... Pop your culture.
Till all are one.
Ah, yes, son of a bitch.
Boop, 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 boop.